greet each one in Christ's precious name. It's good to be with you at Susquehanna Valley this morning. It's one beautiful day out there. Nice drive up here this morning. For a message this morning, message title, Spirit-Filled Fathers. I know you might think, well, this isn't Father's Day. This was an assignment that was given to me just a couple weeks ago from Coca-Lamas. And it's not always fun to look at, it's not something that I picked. It's not always fun to look at your own life and see how you're really doing. But I was really challenged as I studied for this, and it's pretty fresh in my mind. I just thought I'm going to share it. We need strong fathers, we really do, in the world that we live in. So Spirit-Filled Fathers. As far as the message, I'm just going to give you a little introduction. Then we're going to look at nine things that Spirit-Filled Fathers will be or will do. And there's many more than nine. But you probably could make a message out of each one if you look at each point and how that plays out in real life. So I have a good bit of ground to cover here this morning, so I may not look up a lot of verses. I may give them to you. Have a lot of ground to cover here. Let's see what we can learn here. Just a few things I want to impress in your minds, so you can think about as we go through this message. The first one, our children are not really ours. You know, our children are God's. God has entrusted them to us. You know, we're only stewards of them. God can take them at His desire. So fathers, we cannot go into this haphazardly. You know, at the end of life, I really believe that God will ask each one of us, how did you do with the children that I gave you? Something to think about as we go through life. The second one is, I want to remind you, y'all know that verse. You know, there's a devil walking to and fro on this earth, seeking whom he may devour. I looked up that word devour. It literally means drown or swallow up. You know, this morning the devil wants your soul. He wants my soul. And fathers, you have a tremendous influence on your children, on your family. And I really believe that he's going to try his best to get you. Because if he does, the devil can get you. He probably has your family also. And the devil wants nothing more than to destroy the Christian home. The devil also wants every one of your children's souls. And he's going to try his best to get them. So fathers, we need to think soberly about that. You know, every living soul, every one of your children will spend eternity in either heaven or hell. And then the third one I want to remind you is, I just want to caution you about the world that we live in. You all know it. We live in a sinful world. There's sin on every hand. Evil abounds on every side. You know, the world's influences and pressures are real. We face them every day. Well, fathers, we need to protect our homes as much as we can from these evil influences. You know, just a little bit about the world we live in. I saw a poll that was taken in May. That's May of 2017, this year. A poll shows that only 24% of the American people believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. As I saw that poll, I thought, that's unbelievable. Now I know you all weren't in that poll, or it would be a little different. 24% of the American people that believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. You know, the Bible has the answers for us fathers. Do you understand why fathers are failing, homes are breaking up, and children are growing up without God? It's not a wonder. Just another thing I saw recently. Just recently, the province of Ontario has passed legislation that gives the province the authority to remove children from the home of parents who do not uphold a child's decision to change his or her gender identity or gender expression. They are calling it child abuse if a parent does not approve of their decision. You know, and we could go on and on. We're not going to spend time. You all know about the world that we live in. This morning, I don't want any father to live in fear because of the world situation. 1 John 4:4 says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." That's a real, real comfort. We also have the promise in Romans 8:31 says, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" Tremendous, tremendous promises there. He will help us through whatever we need to go through. And then the fourth one. As I studied for this, I was struck with the thought of how every father is so different. You know, each one of us are a unique creation of God. Each of you have your own personal strengths, have your own weaknesses. As I thought about that, you know, if we would throw out a happening or a problem, Johnny did such and such. If I throw that out to this group of fathers here, every one of us would probably have a different fix. We'd have a different answer, a different fix. You know, some of you may be a little more aggressive, and you'd have an answer just like that, what needs to be done. And you'd want to address that problem right now. And some of you, I don't know y'all, so some of you may be more passive. Maybe you'd like 2 hours to think about it. Or maybe two days. Or maybe you'd even secretly hope that the problem will fix itself. It'll go away. Well, this morning, whether you're aggressive or passive, you know, both sides have strengths and weaknesses. But I just want to remind you that every mile of road has 2 miles of ditches. You know, if you're too aggressive, you may be in the one ditch. That can be a struggle for your family. Maybe you need to bring it back onto the road. Or if you're too passive, that can be a struggle for your family. Maybe you need to bring it back onto the road. Well, we want to look at some things that Spirit-filled fathers will do no matter what kind of personality we have. Number one, Spirit-filled fathers must be born again. This morning, I don't have anything new. It's very, very things that you all know, that you all have heard many times. Romans 8, verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." You know, the Holy Spirit does not fill carnal, sinful fathers. And every one of us, we're born with that sinful, Adamic nature. So the first thing we need to do is take care of that problem. Take care of this sin issue. John 3, verse 7 says, "Ye must be born again." As I thought about that, you know, the only way we can be the earthly father that God wants us to be is to take on the nature of our heavenly Father. And it's only as we're born again will we receive that Holy Spirit. You know, being a father is going to be, a difficult task at times. And we sure need the Spirit's help. And it's only as we're born again will we be willing to follow the Bible. You know, just think about all that the Bible has in it. You know, the Bible is just loaded with advice to fathers. Teaching on child training. Lots of examples of fathers that we can learn from. And only as we're born again do we have a foundation to build our homes on. Number two, Spirit-filled fathers love the Lord. I just want to read it. Mark 12, verse 30. I'm going to read 31 also. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Fathers, how are you doing as far as keeping this commandment? It's a challenge. You know, is God first in your life? You know, if we are upholding this commandment, it's going to be a tremendous influence to our children. It really will be. You know, at home is where we let our guards down. At home is where your children can see the real you, who you really are. That's where they can see what you really believe. Who you really are. You know, the truth is, what is in our hearts will probably be transmitted to our children's hearts. You know, back to our verse, you know, loving the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that's going to affect every area of our life. Luke 12, verse 34 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Like I said, it's going to affect every area of our life. Let's just talk about just a few. You know, what about our businesses and our jobs? You know, we all need to make a living. At least I haven't found another way to pay bills. You know, work can get so demanding. And it can take up so much of our time. If we really love the Lord, I believe we're going to need to take some time off for the Lord's work, or go help someone in need. You know, in our Sunday school, we talked about the list. You know, the poor, the down and out people. Take some time to. They're going to need some help. Do you love the Lord more than your business? You know, your children know that because they're going to see what you put first. How do we plan our schedule? You know, in this busy life that we live, do you plan for family worship? You know, if you don't plan for it, it's not going to happen. What about church attendance? Are you there when the doors are open? And I understand there'll be times when that it will not work. But how big of an excuse does it take to cause you to miss? I thought of Hebrews 10 verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You know, church is where we hear God's word. It's where we meet God's people, and we shouldn't want to miss it. We need it. You know, God's word and the encouragement that God's people give us, I believe it's going to help us to be faithful to the end. And our children understand how much value we place on church attendance. You know, what are we teaching them? And I've been around long enough and watched enough families, and this is usually how it works. You know, families that are usually at church when the doors are open, they raise children that grow up, get married, and they usually are there when the doors are open. I love to see that. You know, they have learned the importance of coming to church, looking into God's Word, meeting with God's people. Well, we could go a lot of places under this point. Like I said, it affects every area of your life. But our children will know if we love the Lord by what is most important to us. Number three, Spirit-filled fathers trust in God. I want to read a verse from Proverbs 3. I'm going to read verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Just another verse from Psalm 127. Psalm 127 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. You know, as fathers, think of the awesome responsibility we have in raising our children. It can feel overwhelming. It really can. You know, we know that there's no way that we can ever get it accomplished properly. You know, none of us are wise enough, strong enough to do it ourselves. But I believe that God does not want us to feel overwhelmed. We don't need to feel hopeless. You know, God has given us all the resources we need if we just put our confidence and trust in him and look to him for direction. You know, he's there to help us. On our own, yeah, a lot of times most of us will make a wreck of things. The first part of Psalms 127 said, except the Lord build this house, they labor in vain that build it. You know, all our efforts are going to be in vain if they are not directed by God. Psalm 127, just verse 3, it says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. We already talked about this. You know, we must always remember that we don't own our children. They are a gift from God, and we're only stewards of the souls he entrusted them into our care. But God does not ask us to do things that he does not give us the power and instructions to do. And we can count on his help. It's up to us to lean on him for help. Number four, Spirit-filled fathers will be concerned for the spiritual well-being of their children. You know, every one of us fathers want to be successful fathers. Just a couple questions get you thinking. How will you determine if you've been a successful father? What are the goals that you want for your children? Couple more questions. Do you want your children to be popular and have lots of friends? Do you want your children to get high-paying jobs and become very successful businessmen? Do you want your children to get married? And some of these goals are not all wrong. But as I was thinking about that, you know, I meet a lot of people at work. And I meet a handful of dads that I think of right off the top here. I meet dads that are happy to tell me about their successful children. They get their phones out. got pictures to show. Their families, the spreads they live in, the houses, expensive cars they're driving. They're just, and it usually goes something like this. I am so proud of my son or daughter. You know, I worked so hard and sent them through X amount of years of college. And they came out of college and landed an awesome job. Life is good for them. I am so proud of them. The one dad just recently was talking about his daughter and son-in-law and the awesome job that they landed, and it just got a, I think it was a $75,000 Mercedes SUV, got a big spread of a house. You know, their children are usually making something of themselves. The one dad said, his son's making the big money and living the American dream. You know, as a dad, if that's all we care about, we have failed. We really have. As I think about a couple of these families, you know, the parents are often church-going people. They're in church every Sunday. But while their child was going through college, their child didn't have time to go to church. Now that they're out and they landed these jobs, you know, to get this good job, they had to move across the USA or to another part of the world. And where do they go to church? Well, they usually don't go to church. Right now, they're busy pursuing this good job and living the American dream. Now, do you see the path that they're headed down? Who put them on this path? Well, their dads did. Dads, we need to be very careful what goals we set for our children. Are the goals or the aspirations that we want for them putting them on a path that'll lead them from God? You know, our desire should be that our children would serve the Lord and be in the Lord's will, wherever that takes them. Number 5, Spirit-filled fathers will be fathers of prayer. First of all, we talked about the big task it is to be a father. Ask for prayer. Ask for yourself. Ask God for wisdom and direction in leading your home. You know, why not take it to the one that knows us better than we know ourselves? You know, he understands us. He knows our weaknesses. He's the one that can give us the strength to fill our role. He wants us to come to him and in humility ask for his help. And then secondly, we need to pray for our children. You know, we talked about the battle that's raging. Battle that's raging for their souls. Pray for them. You know, life is just so serious. It really is. And our children are going to face a lot of temptations. They need to make a lot of important decisions and choices as they go through life. They need our prayers. You know, God created them. He knows our children. He understands their needs. And I like the example of Job. Just going to read one verse. I don't have time to look into that story, but I really like that. Job 1 verse 5 says, "And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and renounced God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. And this all was going on before Job lost all his children and all his things. But I liked what it said. You know, Job was concerned for the spiritual condition of his children. He understood the temptations that they may have been facing. So he made special effort to intercede for them. I liked what it said. It said he rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. Our children need our prayers. They really do. I believe it's very beneficial for us to pray for each child individually and ask God to bless each one. It's also encouraging for your children to hear you pray for them. They need to know that they're being prayed for as they go through life. You know, we cannot make our children's choices for them, especially as they grow older or start homes of their own, but we can still pray for them. So let's be faithful fathers of prayer. Number 6. Spirit-filled fathers will be part of and support a Bible-practicing church. We could go a lot of places with this. You know, the last few years, like I say, I worked with a lot of people during the week. The last few years, there seems to be a growing trend that fathers say, I don't need a church. They say, God created me to be the leader of the home, so it's my job to instruct my home. You know, my family and I will just have church. We'll have our own church at home. And that's true, fathers. It is your job to instruct your children. But God designed a church with Jesus as the head of the church for our benefit. So I'm going to say this morning, team up with the church. Fathers, team up with the church. Get in there. Support it. And the church will bless your family above measure. As I thought about that, you know, just one of the blessings we receive from church life is all the teaching. Just think about a Sunday morning, for example. You know, there was a devotional. Very good devotional. A Sunday school class, and then a message. Just think about that. Three brothers took God's word, studied it, and fed it to your family. You know, your family receives so much more than one father could study and give to his family. So be there. Church will bless your family. Back to the title of our point, said a spirit-filled father will be part of and support a Bible-practicing church. You know, what is a church? Well, the church is made up of people. It's fathers, mothers, children. You know, we could ask the question, whose responsibility is it to make sure that we keep a Bible practicing church? I know we could go a lot of places on that. You know, you might say, well, it's a ministry's job. It's a front bench here. And I believe it is a ministry's responsibility, but I believe it's also the father's responsibility. You know, the ministry can't do it alone. So team up together and make sure it happens. You know, it's not going to happen on its own. There's many examples out there. I believe each generation is going to face the challenges and changes. Each generation is going to need to take the Bible and make present day applications. You know, one area I thought of is fads and fashions. You know, they seem to keep wanting to slip into our churches. You know, and it's like, whose job is it? Is it the ministry's job? Is it the father's job? You know, the ministry needs the help and support of the fathers. You know, fads and fashions will come and go. Fathers, I believe it's your responsibility to sort through these fads and fashions and say yes or no. You know, time brings change. Things change. You know, just a question we could ask, when is change wrong? I like to make things practical. Let me just give you just a few examples of fads and fashions that I've observed affect the Mennonite church. I have two for the sisters and two for the brethren. You know, a few years ago, a new hairstyle swept across the Mennonite church. One evening, my wife and I went shopping at Park City. You know, the models in the store windows caught my attention. I said to my wife, look at those hairstyles. That is where our Mennonite girls have gotten their new hairstyles. And if you're watching, the Mennonite hairstyles are changing again. You know, things keep changing every few years. Just a second one. You know, every time a new dress style or pattern comes out, whose job is it to decide whether it's appropriate or not? We let that up to the youth girls? Well, I believe Spirit-filled fathers will step up to the plate and make that decision. You know, modesty, simplicity, and separation should be our guiding principles. And I know there's people who are against all change, but I doubt if there is anyone here dresses and combs like their great-grandmother. So the truth is, we all have changed sometime. But I am alarmed when I see people constantly changing to follow any new fad that comes along. And change may not always be wrong, but let's make sure we know what is governing our decision to change. And some of us maybe need to make some changes so that we are more modest. Let me just give you an example. You know, I've come to appreciate the longer dresses. But I hope we will not see the dress hems go up as the style in the world goes up again. You know, in the world, the dress hems are going up. Just a couple weeks ago, my wife and I were in Ohio for a wedding. And Friday evening, we got to our motel, and there was some event at that motel in the banquet room. They were having some event, and it was a dress-up occasion, suit and ties, and saw the people going in, and most of the ladies had dresses on, and their dresses were inches above their knees. That's where it's headed. You know, fathers, step up to the plate. That's your job. Just two to the brethren. You know, what about designer pants and shirts? Do we let that up? Dads, are we going to let that up to the young men? I believe Spirit-filled fathers will help make those decisions. You know, just once again, just remember, modesty, simplicity, and separation should be our guiding principles. You know, how close to the world should we look? And the second one, let's just talk about men's hairstyles. You know, a few years ago, short hair, really short hair, buzzes it, swept across the Mennonite church. You know, I never dreamed people would have to be told, your hair is too short, you need to grow some hair. Some of us would like to grow some more, some hair. You know, now it's changed. You know, it's now the longer hair, the moppy look. Are we gonna follow those fads and fashions? You know, now the same is true for sideburns. Just think about that. Going back a few years ago, the thing was no sideburns. You know, cut it off at the top of the ear. People had to be told, we want you to have sideburns. Well, now it's changed. Long sideburns are in. And now people have to be told, get them sideburns up. You see what's happening? You know, some of these fads and fashions we talked about came from the world. And I thought of the statement, Brother Sim Yoder made this statement. He says, whenever the winds of fashion blow, it shakes the curtains of the church. Now, that's not good, but it's true. So I thought about a couple of things that we just talked about. Can you imagine the reaction if the ministry across the Mennonite church would have decided, in order to have a conservative church, we need all the sisters to have this hairstyle that we talked about. And for the brethren, everyone must have very short hair and no sideburns. Well, trust me, there probably would have been a rebellion across the church. We need to think seriously about these things. You know, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17 says, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be to you a father, and ye shall be to me sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So dads, step up to the plate. Your youth need your help to sort through these tough things. Your ministry will be there to help you. But let's seriously consider why we want to make a change. Again, I want to be clear, I do not feel all change is wrong. But let's consider who's influencing us. As fathers, we will have to give an account to God for what I've allowed in my home. And my children will know if I truly support the church, if I was a borderliner. And I really believe that if Susquehanna Valley is going to be a conservative Anabaptist congregation in 10 years, depends on whether or not we have Spirit-filled fathers. Number 7, Spirit-filled fathers teach your children. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Here's a tough one. You know, life is so busy. And it's easy to just assume that they'll just learn from watching us. Children come into the world helpless, dependent, and innocent. They are so teachable. They believe whatever someone tells them. Thought about the communists. The communists used to say, give me a child until he is 7, and we will have him for life. Think about that. Those first number of years of your child's life are so important. You leave lasting impressions. Your children are going to learn from someone. The question is, are you going to be the teacher? There's a lot of voices out there that are trying to teach your children and influence your children. Ephesians 6, verse 4 says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It said that all the commandments for teaching children in the Bible are directed to the fathers. God has assigned fathers to be the primary authority figure in a child's life. And we know that mothers have a great part to play in this role too. But mothers are teaching under the direction of fathers. One example of a faithful father is Abraham. Genesis 18:19 says, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring unto Abraham that which he has spoken of him. You know, this morning, what's God saying about you? What's he saying about me? Can he say about you what he said about Abraham? It's going to take a tremendous teaching program for our children to keep the ways of the Lord. It really is. They're going to have to hear it time and time again. You know, only then is it going to become part of them. There's a lot of different levels of teaching that will change as they grow up. I like Deuteronomy 6:7. It says, thou shalt teach him diligently unto thy children, and shall walk and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You know, when they're young, tell them, read them the Bible stories. Get them to memorize Bible verses. The simple verses. Be kind one to another. Lord's my shepherd. The golden rule. You know, those little minds are so teachable. And they just soak up things like that. Teach them to be obedient. To be kind. To be respectful to the authority figures in their lives. To be honest. To learn how to work. Teach them what it means to be a Christian. Probably the best way is to teach them by example. Just you be a devout Christian. Talk about our way of life. Teach them from the Bible why we dress modestly. Why we wear the Christian woman's veiling. Why we live separately from the world. You know, our children need to know. In fact, they have the right to know why we do the things we do. Let me just tell you, quick story here. This happened probably about 45 years ago. My wife's family lived in the Franconia area. And my wife's cousin, which went to one of the Franconia Mennonite churches, was getting ready to be baptized. She told my wife, said, I have to wear a covering to be baptized. I don't know why. You know, think about that. How sad. Obviously, she had not been taught. Didn't make sense to her. You know, the same thing can happen to Susquehanna Valley. Don't think for one second that it can. All we have to do is stop teaching the Bible, and our children will stop practicing and obeying the Bible. It's that simple. We need to teach by word, talk with them. We need to teach by action, by the things we do. But we teach best by what we are, and they know if we live up to what we teach. Spirit-filled fathers will discipline their children. This could be a message in itself. We don't have time to go into this subject in depth. You know, discipline is in the home is more than punishment and correction. I liked what the dictionary said about discipline. Discipline is training, especially training of the mind and character. And another definition, it said, discipline is a trained condition of order of obedience. Well, this morning, it's a Bible command. We need a discipline for the good of our children. A child left to himself will bring himself to ruin. Proverbs 29 verse 15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother, I'm going to add, and father to shame. And we see that in the society that we live in, where children are left to express themselves, and discipline is viewed as abuse. You know, the home is in chaos. The children are unhappy. Things are out of control. Well, fathers, it's head of your home. You are primarily responsible to carry out discipline in your children. There's quite a few verses in Proverbs. You know, he that spareth the rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Proverbs 22:15, Proverbs 23:14, Proverbs 29:17. You can look them up sometime. Just one more thought on discipline. Always give discipline out of a heart of love for your children. And not out of anger or frustration because the child disobeyed you. Discipline given out of love will bring positive results. And the last one, Spirit-filled fathers understand the value of building relationships with their children. If you want to have a powerful influence in your children's life, build a relationship with them. You know, children who have developed a good relationship with their parents want to obey them. They desire the approval of their parents. I came across a quote that went like this: rules without relationship make rebellion. You know, children who have developed a good relationship with their parents will also find it easier to go to them and discuss their problems with them. You know, if you haven't developed a good relationship with them, don't expect them to share the struggles they're having with you. And we all know good relationships don't just happen, they're built. It starts when they're young. It takes a lot of time and effort. Children are going to take a lot of your time. Came across another quote by Emma Hulbert that I liked. It said, parents are prone to give their children everything except the one thing they need most, and that is time. Time for listening, time for understanding, time for helping, and time for guiding. It sounds simple, but in reality, it is the most difficult and the most sacrificial task of parenthood. Let your children know you value a relationship with them. Let them know you love them and appreciate them. One of the best ways to build good relationships with them is to show an interest in their lives, whatever stage you're at. And when they're little, all the way up through adulthood, you know, it helps prepare them for life and shows them how to build relationships with the people that they come in contact as they go through life. Well, in closing, I know a message like this can let fathers feel overwhelmed. Can make you feel like you'll never be able to measure up. Well, take courage this morning. God is with us. He's with us. And He'll enable you, He'll enable me, for the task that He has given us. I believe how seriously we take our responsibility as fathers may make an eternal difference to your children. So God bless each one of you as you fill your calling. Let's come before the Lord in a kneeling prayer.